B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to start on the last line of Daf Yud Beis Omud Beis. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omar Talmud Echod Chulei. Rabbi Akiva Omer Alzeh Ve'Alzeh Nechleku Chulei. What did we see in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Omud Beis? We saw that one of Rabbi Shmuel's Talmidim said to Rabbi Akiva in the name, or supposedly in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that the machlokes b'Hillel and b'Shammai, whether in order to fix a mavui, it's enough to have either a koira or a lechi, or whether you need a koira and a lechi, is that also referring to a mavui that is less than 4 amos wide, or only if it's 4 amos wide? According to the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, the machlokes is only on a large mavui, but a narrower mavui, Beis Shammai will agree to Beis Hillel that either a koira or a lechi is enough. And Rabbi Akiva argued and said that Beis Shammai argue even with a smaller mavui. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, haynu tana kama. Because the Mishnah starts, hechsher mavui, Beis Shammai oimrim lechi v'koira, or Beis Hillel oimrim oi lechi oi koira. And Rabbi Eliez oimer lechoyayin. Okay, we've discussed that already. And then Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, etc., quoting Rabbi Shmuel. And then Rabbi Akiva, Omer Bakiva alzeh v'alzeh nechleku. The Tanakama before Rabbi Shmuel, they also didn't say that there's a difference between a large or a narrow mavui, and the Tanakama supposedly hold exactly what Rabbi Akiva says, that Beis Shammai argue even in a narrower mavui. Hainu Tanakama, Rabbi Akiva is the same as the Tanakama. Answers the Gemara Ika Beinayu, there is a difference, and the difference is as to how narrow the mavui can be, and there'll still be a machlokes. We've seen a number of times already. We last saw it on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph that the opinion of Rav Ochli or Rav Yechiel was that a mavui that is less than 4 tefachim wide doesn't need any tikkun, according to Beis Hillel and according to Beis Shammai. So we don't know what the Tanakama holds and what Rabbi Akiva holds. But either way, even though they both say the same regarding a mavui that's less than 4 amos wide, but it could be they argue regarding a mavui that's less than 4 tefachim wide. Continues the Gemara Tanya, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Lo Omer Rabbi Shmuel Dovozer, Elo Oisei Talmid Omer Dovozer. Rabbi Akiva, who's arguing with what this Talmud said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva said, I don't believe Rabbi Shmuel actually said such a thing. And Rashi says, Murzuk ani boy, I know Rabbi Shmuel, says Rabbi Akiva, Shehu Chochem, that he's a very wise person, Umeoilam lo oma dovozeh. He wouldn't have said such a thing that in a mavui that's less than 4 amos wide, that Beis Shammai are going to agree to Beis Hillel. And obviously this Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel either misunderstood Rabbi Shmuel or didn't hear it from Rabbi Shmuel. Either way, I know Rabbi Shmuel didn't hold that way. V'halocha ko'isei Talmud, and the halocha is like that Talmud. And this doesn't make sense. You just said that you don't believe that Rabbi Shmuel said what this Talmud said in his name, and then you say the halocha is like this Talmud. Ho gufa kasha, omrus le'omar Rabbi Shmuel dovozeh, al meles hilchasa kavaseh. If you say, you Rabbi Akiva say, I know Rabbi Shmuel didn't say it, you're obviously trying to imply that the halocha isn't like this quote, supposedly in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. V'hoda omrus halocha ko'isa Talmud, and then you say the halocha is like what this Talmud is saying. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel explained, Lo Omro Rav Akiva, Rav Akiva just added these words, V'halocha ko'isei Talmud, not that he thought that was the halocha. Of course the halocha is not like this Talmud. Rav Akiva himself said he didn't believe that Rav Shmuel said what this Talmud had said in his name. Elo l'chadid bo ha-Talmidim, he just wanted to sharpen the minds of his Talmidim. So Rashi explains that shiasimu libom la Torah, they should put their heart into the Torah, v'yomru pilpul b'libom l'fikach shibchoy bifneihem. That the reason that Rabbi Akiva, he praised this Talmud in front of his own Talmidim, was in order to encourage his Talmidim to delve into the depths of the pilpul of Torah. Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok says, nirin itmer, Not that Rabbi Akiva said to his Talmidim, Halocha ko'iso Talmid, that the Halocha is like this Talmid. Rather, nirin, it would be logical. Logic seems to lean towards what this Talmid said. He's not really arguing in practical terms. He just wants to get the terminology exactly right. Rabbi Akiva didn't use the word Halocha. He used the word nirin. It's worth pointing out here that what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah? The difference is only going to be whether Beis Shammai need a lechi and koira on a narrower mavui, or lechi or koira. So it's interesting that the whole machlokes is as to what Beis Shammai holds, because as far as what Beis Hillel holds, there's no machlokes. So the whole issue of halacha or not halacha, none of this is halacha, because it only ever applies. It only made a difference to Beis Shammai. It didn't make a difference to Beis Hillel at all. So it's something that the Mefarshim discuss here. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol mokim sha'ata moitze mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omar Talmud Echod. Like you saw in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah it said, mishum Rabbi Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Omar Talmud Echod, a certain Talmud said, lifnei Rabbi Akiva, in front of Rabbi Akiva. Who is this Talmud that was a Talmud of Reb Yishmol and saying things over in Reb Yishmol's name to Reb Akiva? Who was this? Eino elo Reb Meir. Reb Yishua ben Levi says it must be Reb Meir. Sheshimesh es Reb Yishmol v'es Reb Akiva. He was a Talmud also of Reb Yishmol and of Reb Akiva. And therefore he would come with quotes from Reb Yishmol and tell them to Reb Akiva. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Omar Reb Meir, Kishahoyisi Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel, when I was learning by Rabbi Shmuel, Hoyisi Matil Kankantum Lutoichad Yoy, I would put Kankantum into the ink when I would write. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, when I would be a Sefer Stam, I would add Kankantum into the ink, which is something, an ingredient that makes the ink permanent. If there's Kankantum in the ink, you cannot rub out the ink. Even if you rub away the ink, there's always going to be a sign, there's going to be a stain, a mark that's going to be left. And Rabbi Shmuel, who obviously knew that I was putting kankantoim into the ink, he didn't say a word to me. He was okay with it. When I came to Rabbi Akiva, when later I, Reb Meir, became a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, he did not allow me to use kankantoim. And we'll discuss later on in the Gemara why one should or shouldn't use kankantoim. Asks the Gemara, Eini, v'ha'omer of Yehuda, omer Shmuel, mishum Reb Meir. This, what we just quoted now, was a brisa in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who says he brought a brisa that Reb Meir was first learning by Rabbi Shmuel, then he was learning by Rabbi Akiva. And in that brisa, we also saw that Rabbi Shmuel was okay with kankantoim, Rabbi Akiva wasn't. And something doesn't seem right, because there's another brisa that Rav Yehuda is quoting in the name of Rav Meir. Kishahoyisi lo yimedetel Rav Akiva, when I was first by Rav Akiva, hoyisi matil kankantoim, then I would use kankantoim, l'toichad yoy into the ink, v'lo yomar lidovo. Rav Akiva didn't say a word, it seems that he was okay with it. Ukishabos yetel Rabbi Shmuel, when I came to Rabbi Shmuel later to become a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, Omar Li said to me, Bini, my son, Ma malachtecho, what's your work? What do you do? Omar Tile, I said to him, Lav lorani, I'm a scribe, I'm a cipher. Omar Li said to me, Bini, my son, have a zoyer b'malachtecho, be very careful with your work. Shemalachtecho meleches shamayim. Your work is holy work, it's work for Hashem. It's writing Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos. Shemo ato machaser ois achas oimiyatir ois achas. Make sure that you don't have one letter too much or one letter too little. Nimteis machriv es ha'olam kuloi. Because with one extra letter or with one letter too little, you can destroy the world. And Rashi tells us that when it says in the Pasuk Hashem Elokim emes, if you take the word emes and you skip the aleph, chas v'shalom meis means dead, you're machriv the olam. If you say Hashem Elokim and then you say meis chas v'shalom instead of emes, you've destroyed the world. And another pasuk when it says vayedaber Hashem, Hashem spoke, if you would add a letter vav, vayedabru Hashem, chas v'shalom, referring to Hashem in plural term, you've destroyed the world. You've become a kofer. So be very careful if you're a scribe not to make sure that every single letter is there, not one more, not one less. Omartiloy and I, Rabbi Meir, responded to Rabbi Shmuel as follows. Dovor echod yeshli. I've got an ingredient. V'kankantum Shmuel. The name is kankantum. Shani mati l'toich adyoy. I put that into the ink. Omer li. Rabbi Shmuel said to me, and we'll soon decide, we'll soon try and understand. The Gemara is going to discuss how, what was the response. Rabbi Shmuel said, make sure you don't have any letters too much or too little, and he responded with the ingredients of the ink. We'll soon understand that. But either way, Rabbi Shmuel responded to Rabbi Meir, V'chimatilin kankantum l'toich hadyoy, you're putting kankantum into the dyoy, V'alei omra toira says, V'kosav u'mocha. In the parasha of the Soita, where we all know that they would rub out a parasha that was written on parchment, and the pasuk says, "V'kosav esa'olo Yisraela." These curses would be written, "Hakohen b'sefer." It would be written onto some parchment, what we call a sefer, "Umocho el mei hamorim," and it would be rubbed out, erased into the water, and then this soita would drink the waters, as the psukim explain. So, if it says that you have to write it and you have to be able to rub it out, it must be that it's a type of letters, type of ink that can be erased. And if you put kankantum in, you can't erase it. So stop using kankantum. You're not allowed to use kankantum. Asks the Gemara, let's first understand. What was Rabbi Shmuel trying to tell Rabbi Meir by saying, make sure that there's no letters more or less? Well, we know what he was trying to say to him. Be careful that you're very accurate with your writing, but umayko mahadole, how did he respond? What was the meaning of his response by saying, I put kankantum into the ink? Says the Gemara, hochik omale. Loimi boya, Rameo was saying, loimi boya bechaseris ubiyaseris deloita ino, deboki ano. Rameo was telling Rabbi Shmuel, don't worry, I will never write a letter too much or a letter too little. I am very expert. I know every letter where it belongs. You don't need to worry about that. However, we're worried that maybe a fly is going to come and you're going to have the word Hashem Echod, and a fly is going to sit on the corner of the Dalet and remove the edge of the Dalet, Chas V'Shalom, turning it into a Resh. And Hashem Acher, Chas V'Shalom, to say that. Elohim Acherim. You can't say about Hashem Acher. So he says, even there you don't need to worry, says Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Shmuel. Ela filim meichosh lizvuv nami. Even the suspicion or the fact that we're afraid that a fly is going to come, Dilma Osiv Yosiv Atage de Dalid, is going to sit on the corner. Tag is the crown, but is going to sit on the top right hand corner of the Dalid. Umochikle is going to rub it out. Umashvile Reish is going to make it into a Reish Chas V'Shalom. Don't worry about that, said Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Shmuel. Dovor Echod Yeshli, I put into the ink one ingredient for Kankantum Shemoi. Kankantum, Shani Mate L'Toich HaDyoy, I put it into the ink. And therefore, even if a fly would come and remove the top layer of the ink, the remnants would always remain. Kankantum stops us being able to rub it out. The fly will not be able to turn the Echod into Achir. So that's what we've seen so far. And now the Gemara is saying, Kashya Shimush Ashimush. First of all, there's this contradiction here. In the Braisa, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mentioned he was first with Rabbi Shmuel and only then with Rabbi Akiva. In the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, he was first by Rabbi Akiva and then by Rabbi Shmuel. And Kashya Osro Osro. In Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's Braisa, it was Rabbi Shmuel. He was first by Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel was okay with the kankantum. And it was Rabbi Akiva that was not okay with the kankantum. In the second braisa of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva was okay with the kankantum, and Rabbi Shmuel wasn't okay with the kankantum. Kashya Osro a Osro. The one that says Osir in this braisa is not the one that says Osir in the other braisa. What's going on here? Says the Gemara, Bishloi Meshimush Ashimush Loi Kashya. The question as to who was he a Talmud of first, that contradiction we can easily get round. Meikora osa lekameda Rabbi Akiva. At the beginning, first Rabbi Meir came to Rabbi Akiva. Umidaloi motzi lemekum alibe. But Rabbi Akiva was so deep, Rashi says, chorif tuve, was very, very sharp, that at the beginning, Rabbi Meir couldn't understand Rabbi Akiva. So he left Rabbi Akiva. Also, lekamedu Rabbi Shmuel. He went to Rabbi Shmuel v'gomar gemara, and he learned all the mishnayos that Rabbi Shmuel had received from his rebbes. Rabbi Meir learned them all. V'hoda also lekamedu Rabbi Akiva. And then he went back to Rabbi Akiva, and he was being, Rashi says, shehoya chorif lefalpil uledaktik b'mashelomad leheishiv tshuvos u'mishnayos zeh al zeh uletaritz. Rabbi Akiva, he was stage two. Once you know, once you have all the information, all the mishnayos, you can understand what Rabbi Akiva is doing, asking questions, answering questions, and explaining in depth of those mishnayos. Once you've been to Rabbi Shmuel, you can understand Rabbi Akiva. V'hada also lekamed Rabbi Akiva, and afterwards he came back to Rabbi Akiva, and he understood what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So the order is okay. It's true that he was first with Rabbi Akiva, and then with Rabbi Shmuel, and then he was first by Rabbi Shmuel, and then with Rabbi Akiva. V'sovar svara, and by Rabbi Akiva, he was learning the logic and the understandings of the mishnayos he learned by Rabbi Shmuel. Ela ostro a ostro kashya, the contradiction between the brises as to who is okay with kankantoim and who isn't, on that question, kashya, we have to let that stand. The Gemara says we don't know an answer to that. Some Rishonim say that when the Gemara says kashya and doesn't say the word tiyuvta, it actually means that there is an answer and not such a complicated one, but the Gemara just didn't want to go into it for whatever reason and therefore left it with kashya. And the Mefarshim always try and explain when it says kashya what the answer could have been. But either way, the Gemara ends off with kashya. Now let's learn a little bit more when kankantoim should or shouldn't be used. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, Rabbi Meir Hoyo Oimir, L'chol matilin kankantoim l'toich adyoim. Rabbi Meir held you're allowed to put kankantoim into the ink when you're writing Tanakh, Torah, Neviim, Ksuvim, Mezuzas, Tfilin, Chutz mi Parsha Saita. When you're writing the Parsha that is the Parsha that gets rubbed out for the Saita, there, because you have to be able to erase it, as it says, V'kosav Umocho, don't put kankantoim when writing that Parsha. And this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that this applies in both types of scrolls that are used for the Saita. Either a scroll that was explicitly written for the Soita with that text in, or that parasha in the Sefer Torah, in a regular Sefer Torah, where you're writing these psukim that get rubbed out for a Soita, when writing those psukim, don't use kankantim. That's both of those are included in parasha Soita. Rabbi Yaakov Oimer, Rabbi Yaakov argues with Rabbi Yehuda and says, no, Mishmoy, also in the name of Rabbi Meir, Chutz mi parasha soita shebamigdosh. Only the parasha soita that's been explicitly written for a soita to be used in the Beis HaMikdosh, to be rubbed out in the Beis HaMikdosh for the soita then to drink the water, that Megillah, that scroll, don't use kankantoim. But when you're writing the parasha in the Torah of soita, there you can use kankantoim. That's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov in the name of Rabbi Meir. My Beinayu, what's their point of contention? What's the machlekes here? Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, limchoik bo min ha-Torah ike Beinayu. They actually seem to be arguing whether you're allowed to use the parasha of the Sefer Torah to be rubbed out for the Soita, or do you have to write a special scroll? And what would that depend on? Vahani Tanoi, and these Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Meir, seem to be arguing, says Rabbi Yirmiya, in the same machlekes as another set of tanoim. Kihani tanoi, the tanya we learnt in another brisa. Ein megiltok sheiro lahashkois bo soita acheres. What happens if they wrote a scroll? The Kohanim wrote a scroll for a soita called Rochel. And then they didn't use it for Rochel because Rochel owned up and therefore she didn't need to drink the water. Are you then allowed to use this scroll for another soita, let's call her Leah? So the Tanakhama says, "Ein megiltok sheiro lahashkois bo soita acheres." You cannot use a scroll that was used, that was written for one woman, to use it for another woman. What do we see from there? That the soita, that the parasha has to be written lishma, especially with this woman in mind, and that's why I cannot use it for another woman. If so, we assume that you cannot use a regular sefer Torah. Because a regular Sefer Torah was not written, that parasha in the Sefer Torah wasn't written to be rubbed out for that particular woman. So when we saw that Rabbi Yaakov said that you're only not allowed to use kankantoim when writing a special Megillah, a special scroll for this woman, but when writing this parasha in the Sefer Torah, you are allowed to use kankantoim. That seems to be following the Tanakhama here that says it has to be lishmo, and therefore you don't rub out the Sefer Torah, so use kankantoim. Rabbi Achi bar Yoshia argues with the Tanakhama and says, the scroll that was written for Rachel can be used for Leah. You don't need Lishma. If you don't need Lishma, then I could even rub out the scroll, this text that's written in a regular Sefer Torah. If so, when writing a regular Sefer Torah, don't use Kankantoim, because at some point you may choose to rub them out for the Saita. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah suggested. Omar of Papa, Rav Papa says, Dil Maloihi. It doesn't have to be that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Achi are arguing in the same machloikus as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. No, Dilma Loihi. Maybe Adkan Loika Omar Tanakhama Hosom, it could be the Tanakhama that say that a Megillah that was written for Rachel cannot be used for Leah. That's not because he holds it has to be Lishma and therefore you couldn't use a Sefer Torah. No, it could be over there, really you don't need Lishma. If you write it for one particular woman, for the exclusion of any other woman, then you cannot use it for another woman. So if you wrote it for Rachel, you can't use it for Leah. But if you wrote it stam in a Sefer Torah, you could use it for either Rachel or for Leah. But that means the Tanakhama doesn't need Lishma. Not like we said before. But if you do it Lishma, it's so to speak doing it almanos, on condition that it's not for somebody else, that's a problem. Let's see that inside. Adkan leikoma Tanakhama hosom, over there, the Tanakhama who say that you cannot use the scroll written for Rachel for Leah, elokiven deintik l'shem Rachel. When you wrote it for deintik l'shem Rachel, suloi hodra minatka l'shem Leah. When you wrote it for Rachel, it was designated for Rachel, then it was to the exclusion of Leah. You cannot use it for Leah. Aval gabatayra. But a Sefer Torah, the Stam Mechtav, it was written Stam, it wasn't written for anybody. So it wasn't written to the exclusion of anyone. Hochanami de Mochkinon. So then it's kosher and you can use it for anyone. Omer of Nachon by Yitzchok. Rav Nachon by Yitzchok is not arguing with Rav Papa, but he's saying another point. Not only could the Tanakhama who say that you cannot use Rachel's scroll for Leah, not only can they also hold, or can they hold, that you're allowed to use the Sefer Torah, but even Reb Achi, who said that you're allowed to use the scroll of Rachel for Leah, that does, it's not because you don't need Lishma, and then we can take it for granted that you even can use the Sefer Torah. No. It could be that he holds that even though I can use Rachel's scroll for Leah, I cannot rub out a Sefer Torah. And therefore, he will hold that when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to use kankantoim, even in the parasha of Soita. Why? Dilma loy adkan loy ka'omer Reb Achi. When does Reb Achi bar Oish Yashia say that you're allowed to use Rachel's scroll for Leah? Hosom over there. Elo de'ichtav miyas l'shum Soita ba'olam. Since this was written for a Soita, you can use it for any Soita you want. Aval gabe Torah? But Torah, why do people write Sefer Torah? L'islamik ksiva. It's written in order to learn from it. Hachanami delei mochkinon. You don't rub out that parasha ever. You write a scroll specially for Soita, and then you can use it for anyone. You don't need Lishma. But even though you don't need Lishma, doesn't mean you can rub out the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah was written in order to be learned, not in order to be rubbed out. And therefore, you don't rub out the Sefer Torah ever, and therefore, even when writing this parasha in the Sefer Torah, you're allowed to use kankantoim. Asks the Gemara, V'lesle l'Rab Achi bar Yoshia hodit nan? Does Rab Achi bar Yoshia, what does he say? We just now saw, he says that if you write a scroll for Rachel, you're allowed to use it for Leah. Can that be? Does he argue with the Mishnah? It says in the Mishnah, Kosav get l'garish es ishto, if somebody wrote a get to divorce his wife, V'nimlach, he changed his mind, Sholem Bayis got better, and he changed his mind, he doesn't want to divorce his wife. U'motzi ben Iro, he found somebody else who lives in the same town, V'omar, and he said to him, Shimcha kishmi, your name is the same as mine. V'shem ishtecha kishem ishti, your wife's name is the same as my wife's name. So the text of this get suits you perfectly. You want to divorce your wife, so you can use this get. Nonetheless, says the Mishnah, posel garish boy, you're not allowed to use the get that was used for Reuven, is not allowed to be used for a different Reuven, even though his wife is the same and all the details are the same. You're not allowed to use it. Why not? Because it says in the Torah of a Kosav, lo, it has to be written exclusively for this woman. So to here, what does it say in the parasha of Soita? It says in the parasha, v'osa lo, that the Kohen has to do this for her. In the same way as we have v'kosav lo by get, we have v'osa lo with Soita. So how can you, Rav Achi, say that a scroll that was written for Rachel can be used for Leah? Answers the Gemara Hochi Hashta, I'll explain it to you. Hosam, over there in the case of get, v'kosav lo ksiv. It says that the vikos of the writing has to be law, has to be uniquely and exclusively for her. Be'inon ksiva lishmo, the ksiva has to be written lishmo, just for her. You can't use it for anyone else. Hoche, in the case of Soita, it says law. But what does it say? V'osa law ksiv, do for her. Does doing for her mean writing it in her name or rubbing it out in her name? Says the Gemara, be'inon asiya lishmo. You have to do the activity, the act has to be lishmo. Asiyah dido, what's this act? What's this asiyah? Mechikohi. The rubbing out of the scroll has to be for her. But writing the scroll doesn't need to be for her, and therefore a scroll that was written for Rachel can be later used for Leah. Continues the Gemara. And now the Gemara is digressing a little bit to understand a little bit who Reb Meir was. We spoke about Reb Meir, the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. We're going to learn a little bit more about Rabbi Meir now. Omer Rabbi Achar Bar Chanina, Golui v'yodua lifnei misha Omer v'hoya ha'olam. It's revealed and known to Hashem, the creator of the world, she'ein b'doyre shel Rabbi Meir k'moisvei. There was no one as sharp as Rabbi Meir in his whole generation. Omipnei ma lo'i kovu halocha k'moisvei. Why do we not have a rule that the halocha should always be like Rabbi Meir, since he is the sharpest head in the generation? The reason is because his chaverim, his colleagues, couldn't always understand, because he was so sharp and he managed to give such logical sounding proofs to things that were halacha as well as to things that were not halacha. They had no way of determining when the halacha is like him and when not, so they couldn't rule like him. Lo yochlu chaveri lamoid al seif taitoi. Shehoya oime, Reb Meir was used to saying al tomei tohir. He would say on something tomei, he would bring out the side of it that maybe or could be tohir. Umar eleiponim, he would bring a very sounding logic that is tohir, even though the halach is tomei. Al tohir tomei, and the other way around as well. He would sometimes bring a very logical reasoning to say that something that's in actual fact tohir should be tomei. And since the chaverim couldn't determine when the halacha was like him, when not, so we couldn't rule like him. Continues the Gemara, Tana, loy Reb Meir Shemoy. The truth is, Reb Meir, that wasn't his name. El Reb Nohiroy Shemoy. His name was Reb Nohiroy. V'lomo nikro Shemoy Reb Meir. Why did they call him Meir if his name was Reb Nohiroy? Shehoya Meir einei chachomim b'halocha. Because he would light up the eyes of the chachomim when discussing halochas. And by the way, the Gemara says that there's another chacham mentioned in the Gemara a few places, another Tana, who we called him Reb Nohiroy. We saw this in Maseches Shabbos. V'loy Nohiroy Shemoy. That Reb Nohiroy that we saw in Maseches Shabbos, that wasn't really his name. Elo Reb Nechemya Shemoy. His real name was Reb Nechemya. V'armi lo adha say Reb Elazar ben Aroch Shemoy. It was actually Reb Elazar ben Aroch. V'loma nikro Shemoy Nohiroy. Why did they call him Nohiroy? Shemanhir einei chachomim b'halocha. He also would light up the eyes of the chachomim when discussing halacha. And the Neid Yehuda has got a tshuva to explain why I read the Gemara the way I did, and because it cannot be that Reb Meir was Reb Elazar ben Aroch and Reb Nechemya. It cannot be they were all one person. There was two or three generations between them. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rebbe, Hay de mechadadno mechavroi. Rebbe says, the reason that I was sharper than my friends in Torah, de chazite le Reb Meir me'achire, because I had the privilege and the merit of seeing the back of Reb Meir. Ve'ilu chazita mikame, and if I would have seen his face from the front, have a mechadad natfei, I would be even sharper. It says in the pasuk, "V'hoyu einecho royis es mirecho." There's a tremendous advantage in understanding and in depth, in sharpness, just by seeing one's Rebbe. And it's worth making a point of having a Rebbe and seeing one's Rebbe. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rebbe Vohu, Omer Rebbe Yechonon. Talmid hoyo lo li Reb Meir. Reb Meir, the Talmid v'sumchus shmoi. His name was Sumchus. Shehoyo oimer el kol dover v'dover shel tumah. Everything that was tumah, he would say, Arboim v'shmoi no tamei tumah. He would have 48 reasons to explain why the halacha was it's tamei. V'al kol dover v'dover shel tairah. And everything that the halacha ruled that it was tohir, Arboim v'shmoi no tamei tairah. He would explain in 48 ways why the halacha is that it should be tohir. Tana, says the Gemara, Talmid Vosik Hoya Bayavne, there was a distinguished Talmid in Yavne, name of a place, Shahoya Metaires Asheretz, he had the ability to prove that Asheretz was Tohir, but Meo Vachamishim Tamim, 150 reasons. Omer Ravina, Ravina says, Ani Odun, I'll make a Kalvachoyme Vatarenu, I'll show you a Kalvachoyme that would tell us that Asheretz is Tohir. And this Gemara is very difficult to understand because the Torah says a Sheretz when it dies is Tomei. So what's these 150 reasons to say it's Tohir and what's Ravinish coming to bring a Kalvachoyme? The Gemara is going to refute the Kalvachoyme. But what we're trying to do here is something which is, it's not within the, we can't go into that now, but it's something that has to be understood. What was the Kalvachoyme that Ravina said that Kalvachoyme would say that a Sheretz should be Tohir? It says, Uma nochosh, a snake. Shememis umar betuma. It kills people and animals, and dead people, dead animals, they have tuma to them. So this nochosh itself causes tuma into the world. Tohir, nonetheless, the nochosh itself is not one of the shrotzim. The Torah tells us what the shrotzim are. Nochosh, the snake, is not one of them. So even though the snake makes man, kills man and makes him tomei, serious tomei, it's avia vois hatuma, and nonetheless the snake himself is tohir, sheretz, the typical shrotzim that we know, the eight shrotzim, she'en meimis umar betuma, that they do not kill people adding tuma to the world, loy kol shekin. Of course they should be tohir, they should be even more tohir than the snake is, and the snake is tohir when it dies, talking about tumas sheretz. It could be there's Tumas Novela, but Tumas Sheretz only applies to those eight Shrotzim. And now we have a Kalvachoyme to say that the Shrotzim shouldn't be Tumas Sheretz because they should be more Tohir than a dead snake. And a dead snake is not Tomei Tumas Sheretz. That was Ravina's Kalvachoyme. V'loyi, the Gemara says this is not a good Kalvachoyme. Maisa Koitz Ba'alma Ka'ovid. What the snake is doing is not because he's a snake. All he's doing is no different to what a thorn is doing, where we find that there are different thorns that when they pierce a person, it causes him to die. So too, all the snake is doing is piercing the person. But it's not the snake part of him that's killing the person. And therefore, the snake itself, there's no reason it should be more tohir than a sheretz. And therefore, you don't have a kal v'chayme. Continues the Gemara. Omer Abba Mashmuel. For 3 years, the Beis Shammai, the yeshivas of Beis Shammai, the Talmidim of Shammai, the yeshivas of Beis Shammai, Ubeis Hillel, and the Talmidim of Hillel, they were arguing. They were arguing according to the rules that we have of how to rule halacha. There's one thing when learning, when you learn, there seems to be a side that should be Torah, a side that should be Tomei, and everyone learns the way they learn. But when it comes to practical application of what one's learned, what the halacha is, there are rules. And they were arguing, according based on the rules that they knew, whether the halacha should be like Beis Hillel or like Beis Shammai. Halalu oimrim halacha k'meiseinu, v'halalu oimrim halacha k'meiseinu. Yotzo baskoil v'omro, baskoil came out from heaven and said, Eilu v'eilu divrei likim chayim hin. You're both right. Everything that you're saying is words of Torah, words of Hashem. Halacha you want to know? Halacha k'Beis Hillel. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. Why? Ask the Gemara, v'chime achar, she'elu ve'elu divrei le'kimchaim, if both signs are the word of Hashem, mipnei ma zochu b'shile le'kvoy halacha k'moisoi. If you say that one camp is sharper than the other, and therefore they are more correct than the other, more emes than the other, I can understand the halacha should be like them. But if you say that both signs are equally emes, then it's not the level of emes that determines that the halacha is like one side. So what does determine? Why should the halacha be like Beis Hillel if they are not more correct than Beis Shammai? Says the Gemara, Mipnei she'noichin ve'aluvin hein, because they are very calm and patient. Hoyu, v'shoinin divrem, when they would learn and say over the teachings, they would say their own teachings, v'divrei Beis Shammai. They didn't undermine Beis Shammai, even though they argued with Beis Shammai. When they would learn, they would quote and recognize what Beis Shammai said. And Rashi brings an example of Brachas Daf Yud Amud Beis, where Beis Hillel said his own halacha, arguing with Beis Shammai, but then explained how to answer Beis Shammai's question. He took Beis Shammai seriously. V'loy oid, not only that, when there's an opportunity to have to say over or to refer to both the elders of the yeshiva of Beis Shammai and the elders of Beis Hillel, who would they quote first? They would first quote Beis Shammai. That's how humble they were. As we see, it's a Gemara and Brachas and Sukkah as follows: Misha haya roishay v'rubay b'sukkah v'shulchoni b'seich habayis. If somebody was sitting in a sukkah, he was in the sukkah, his head and his body, most of his body in the sukkah, but his table was in the house. And the Gemara in Sukkah discusses: does that mean that the sukkah was too small, or does it mean that it was a big sukkah but the table was in the house? We're not going into that now. Either way, roishay v'rubay b'sukkah v'shulchoni b'seich habayis, Beis Shammai poislim, Beis Shammai say it's possible to sit in a sukkah like that. Beis Hillel machshirim, Beis Hillel say it's kosher to sit in the sukkah. As long as the person is roishay v'rubay in the sukkah, it's kosher. Omru Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, loy kacho yomaisa, was there not an incident like that? Shaholchu ziknei Beis Shammai v'ziknei Beis Hillel. This is where we find it. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, did the elders of Beis Shammai and the elders of Beis Hillel, they quoted Beis Shammai first. That's how humble they were. Did the elders of both sides not go levaker Rabbi Yochanan ben Achiranis? Did they not go and visit Rabbi Yochanan Achiranis? Umatzu, and they found him Yeshev, Roishev Rubai Besukav Shulchoni Beseich Habayis. They found him sitting exactly like that. He was in the sukkah, his table was in the house, and nobody said anything to him. So Beis Hillel say, is that not proof that the halacha is like us? Even the elders of Beis Shammai didn't say anything to him that he's not Yotza. Omru lem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, im isham raya, you're trying to bring a proof from there? On the contrary, af hein omru loy, the ziknei Beis Shammai did say something to him. They said to him, im kachno hoisa noeg, lekiyam ta mitzvah sukkah biyamecho. If this is how you've always been sitting in the sukkah, you've never been mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's a Mishnah, a Braisa, and it's a sugya in Masechta Sukkah. But what do we see from here? That Beis Hillel quoted the elders of Beis Shammai before they quoted their own elders. That's how humble they were. Lelamdoch shekol amashpil atzmei HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbihoi. A person who is humble, who lowers himself, Hashem lifts him up. V'chol amagbia atzmei, but somebody who raises himself up with haughtiness and pride, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpiloi, Hashem will find ways of humiliating him. V'chol hamachazer ha'lagdula, if somebody's running after gedula, greatness, prestige, somebody runs after that, gedula birachas mimenu, the gedula runs away from him. V'chol habireach mina gedula, somebody who runs away from gedula, gedula machzeres acharov, then he'll find that honor is running after him. V'chol hadoichik es hashor, if somebody pushes the time, that means he tried to venture on some endeavor, a business or whatever he was doing, and he saw things were not working. The time wasn't right. And he forces the time. He says, no, I'm going to do it anyway. Since as far as the time is concerned, it doesn't seem to be the right time. Time is going to push him away. He's not going to be successful. Somebody is humble and says, this doesn't seem to be the right time. Maybe another time it will work out, will be a better time. Then the next time some time later, which is a more opportune time for success, it will stand him in good cause and he will be successful. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Shtei Shonim Umechtso, for 2.5 years, Nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel were arguing, Halalu Oimrim, one side said, Noyach Leila Odom Sheloi Nivra, Yoisa Misha Nivra, it's easier for a person had he not been born than had he been born. Valolo Imrim and others say, no, Noyach Leila Odom Shenivra, Yoisa Misha Nivra, it's preferable that he was born rather than had he not been born. Nimnu v'gomru, they voted, they counted, who's going to have the last word? And what did the vote come to? Noyach leila adam shelo nivra yosem mishenivra. It's true that in a certain aspects it would have been easier and rather that we were not born than that we were born. Achshav shenivra, but keep in mind, now that you were born, you fashfesh b'maisov, you should search in all your deeds, make sure there's no averus there. If there's averus there, do tshuva. V'omrilo, and others said, not yifashvesh b'maisav, yimashmesh b'maisav, you should examine your ways. Make sure to always make a positive calculation. When the Yetzer Hara says, don't do a mitzvah, it's going to cost you whatever it will cost you, keep in mind the tremendous reward you're going to get for it. When the Yetzer Hara tells you, do an avera, you have something to gain, keep in mind what you're going to pay for it on at the Day of Judgment. It's not worth it. And somebody who's a moro de chushbana, somebody who lives with a cheshbon, that's called yimashmesh b'maisav. Now that you were born with all the challenges of this world, live your life, yifashfesh and yimashmesh b'maisav, and you'll get through it, b'siyata d'shmaya. And yimirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to carry on more of Hilchas Erevin in the next Mishnah.